fit just right. And the radio,
Jamie and Locker with you here on The Green Zone, live from FanFest. Where, of course, the doors will open in about an hour. All the parties will be underway as well in about an hour. As, yes, Grey Cup week is very much alive in downtown Winnipeg. The Rough Riders against the Montreal Alouettes. I'm thrilled to have Kerry Joseph join us on a Grey Cup week. And I know busy coaching, but Kerry, we're just talking about Ryderville opening up. I want to start there. You made that speech before the 07 game. It's like become a tradition now for the Grey Cup. What was that like, and why did you find it important to head to Ryderville before the game and pep up Rider Nation?
You get one opportunity, or you don't know how many opportunities that you're going to get. And, you know, being there at the Grey Cup, you know, Ryderville, the fans, you know, they was there to support us the whole year. They were celebrating. I just felt that it was just a great opportunity to just, you know, give thanks back to them, you know, before the game even kicked off, for all the support, you know, rocking with us the whole year. And then also showing up. I mean, you think about Toronto, it was a sea of green out there. So I just felt it was important to show up there and to really get them going.
Kerry, Jamie and I were just having a conversation about the week as a whole and the involvement that you have, like the extra sort of duties, not just the players, but the coaching staff. And I'm wondering, and then you got the awards, and you were MOP. You're trying to prepare for the biggest game of your life, and you've got all this extra stuff. Was it challenging, or was it just, you know, you just got on the wave and rode it?
You know, you get on the wave and you ride it. You ride it out. You enjoy it. But also, you got to be able to compartmentalize what's important, you know, when you can and you can't do things. Because at the end of the day, it was about just not showing up at the Grey Cup. It was about winning. So you had to make sure that your preparation, your practice time, was taken care of. For me, I think it's very important early in the week to get all of the, you know, highs and buys, thanks for being here. I think all that is important early in the week. And as it gets closer to the game, I think that's when you got to kind of start to dial in to what you need to get done as a player and as a coach.
Kerry Joseph joining us, 2007 MOP and Grey Cup champion of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. You're one of four quarterbacks to be able to do it for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in this franchise. Trevor Harris, you know him kind of at the start of his career, but he's now 39 years old. He's never won one as a starter. Kind of like when Darian, he won one with you as his third stringer, but that 2013 one, that was his as a starter. How important is a Grey Cup for legacy? How important is that 07 championship ring for Kerry Joseph?
I think it's important. I mean, you don't know how many you get a chance to win. It's hard to win in professional sports. It's hard to win a championship. So you embrace that championship when you get it. And when you're the starter, you know, and you get a chance to lead the team into battle, to be able to win that championship, hold up that trophy, it means a lot. You know, that can never be taken away from you. You'll always be a champion, you know, as long as you live and beyond. So that's why it's very important when you get that opportunity to make the best of it.
Kerry, we're kind of at an interesting crossroads with the quarterback position in the CFL right now. There's going to be a couple of guys in the next year or even, you know, next couple of years that might be saying, you know, what's next for me? And I'm wondering, with your involvement in football, I know you're paying attention to the CFL. Is there somebody in the league, a quarterback, that you like what he's bringing to the table right now?
There are some guys. I know there are some guys in the league that is going to have an opportunity. I'm sitting here trying to think right off top. it'll be someone that'll show up. And sometimes it's the one that you don't really expect to show up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that'll be the one that pops on the, you know, and gets an opportunity. And then next thing you know, he takes off with a 12 to 15 year career. but it's going to happen. It's going to happen somewhere.
It was like Darian, right?
I mean, Darian came up to Saskatchewan, and he was a guy with myself and Marcus Crandall, came in as a third guy, and all he did was just take in every bit of information, worked hard, and just was patient. And when he got his opportunity, he ran with it, you know. And, I mean, what, to 08, he started, and he got it in 13. You know, he just stayed consistent to the process. And it'll be someone else that comes along to do that as time goes.
Kerry Joseph here on the Green Zone. 2007 Grey Cup champion, as the Riders will try to win the fifth title and as they get closer and closer to kick off on this one. A lot of the players this week, Kerry, have talked about winning a championship for the province. In 07, it was a huge, 89 was the last one, right? There was only two championships before 07. You talked about it a bit on making that statement to Ryderville, but why is it so important? What is it about this province, about Saskatchewan, about Rough Rider football that has the players not only wanting to win it for themselves, but to win it for the people of the province?
I mean, you think about it. There's nothing else there. I mean, they pour their heart and soul out into Saskatchewan Rough Riders. There's no hockey. No hockey professional team. There's no baseball team. There's no basketball team. So you know that the fans of Ryderville are going to show up. So you want to be able to give something back to them. And, like, for me, it meant a lot to the fans. It meant a lot to a guy like Gene Mikowski, who had never won one. You know, being in his hometown, all that stuff means a lot. And I think that's the important thing as a player of, you know, you get all the glory for being on the field, winning games, but the people that put their hard-earned money into coming and watch you and support, you want to be able to give them a championship to be able to celebrate. That's the thing I really enjoyed, the parade after the game, seeing everybody out there in the freezing snow, celebrating the championship. That's what you do it for.
That was a cold day. 07, you guys came home. Whew!
Yeah, that, it was cold.
That was a cold one.
It was cold.
But the general manager of the team used to be the guy who snapped you the ball in Jeremy O'Day. Did you know, like, was that something you kind of were like, oh, this guy's going to be a championship general manager someday? Or a little bit surprised at the old center on what he's been able to do with this team?
You know what? I didn't know he wanted to do that, you know, when we was playing the game. We never really talked about that. But watching him after.
You keep that to yourself.
Yeah. What's that?
You keep that to yourself.
Yeah, Jeremy was keeping that to himself on that.
So, you know, you don't talk about that. And, you know, as he retired and got into, you know, the front office, you already knew he was a smart guy. He loved the game of football. He was a diehard Rider guy. And just to see him climb the ranks, you know, and when he got that opportunity, I knew he would be successful. He's very smart. He knows the game. He knows personnel. I had a chance to see him, you know, this year before we got going in training in fall camp here in Texas. So hats off to him and what he's been able to do with his staff. And hats off to Corey also to be able to lead the team as the head coach to get them back to the Grey Cup. Those two guys are, you know, stand-up guys, great men, and just happy for them.
You moved around in your career a bit, Kerry, and you played in a number of cities in Canada. If there was the possibility that you were coming back, not for a job or anything like that, was there a city that you sort of connected with?
I tell you, Saskatchewan will always be a home for me, you know, and I only spent 2 years there. But the love, support that I got when I was there for those 2 years, and to be able to go back there as a champion, as a Grey Cup champion, as an MOP, that'll always be home for me. And I've always loved, too, the city of Toronto, something about that city. I didn't have the best time as a player there. It was wins and losses, but it's just something about the city of Toronto that I really love. Also,
I was trying to think. I was like, did Corey Mace ever get you as a defensive lineman back in the day? I can't remember
he might have, you know. And you know what? I'm gonna say this too. And I say Toronto, I would have to probably go Saskatchewan, Ottawa, Toronto, because Ottawa was good to me. That was my first city, you know. And I know a lot has changed, and I haven't been back. And that's one of the things that I want to do, is to get back to Ottawa to see the changes around the stadium. So I would actually have to say that place gave me a start, and I still know a lot of people there in Ottawa. So I'd have to put them second, and Toronto third.
Well, if you come back to Saskatchewan, you won't have to buy a beer.
No, he never does, as nor should he. As I said, one of four quarterbacks in over 100 years to win a championship. But Saskatchewan's I know you loved Ottawa, and it sucked that the Renegades didn't work out, but it came to the benefit of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, didn't it, Kerry?
It did. You know what? It did. You know, you never know how things will work out, and you know, myself and Yo Murphy would always joke around, you know, playing in Saskatchewan when we was with the Renegades, how cold it is and how windy it gets. And we would always joke around like, man, I don't know if I ever want to play here in Saskatchewan. And we both go there and win a Grey Cup. So we're grateful for it.
Yeah.
We're grateful for that opportunity.
And the Riders the last couple of weeks have been battling what you guys were doing. They're throwing different receivers in there, in and out there. How much, like, depth mattered for you guys to win that championship?
It really did. You know what? When you really think about it, I got there in 06, and the roster that Roy Shivers and Danny Barrett had put together, and then we go into 07 and with Ken Austin and Eric Tillman to just put some more pieces to the puzzle in play, we had a lot of depth, you know. So between the two staffs and general managers, I mean, we had a team built for success, and it sustained for a long time.
Kerry, I'm curious, quarterbacks quite often, and maybe not even quarterbacks, but people that watch quarterbacks go, oh, that's his favorite target. Was there something you were looking for in a receiver when you were playing the game that made a guy a go-to guy when you're in the middle of a game?
Well, you know what? You know your receivers, and you know the situation. Like, I knew Matt Dominguez. I knew I had him into the boundary. So I knew that any time I just need a completion or I want to push the ball down the field against a smaller DB, I had Matt Dominguez. If I knew if it was man coverage and I had guys that couldn't run, I knew I had DJ Click. And then when it came down to where can you find the guy that I need this completion, it's a crucial situation, I was looking for Andy Fantuz. You know, so you knew what guys were good at. Andy, I knew he wasn't going to run away from anybody, but I knew he was a great middle of the field option guy. So you kind of know your receivers, and you know the plays that we are calling for certain, you know, players, and you go to them, you find them. And that's, you talk about the depth, that's the depth we had, you know. And I, even in the Grey Cup, you know, you get a guy like Yo Murphy that you're not even throwing the ball to, he comes into the pitcher and steals a catch. So you just know your guys, and you try to get them the football to the best way you can when the situation calls for it.
Well, Kerry, we very much appreciate you joining Saskatchewan on a big week. They're
this
revved up. I actually asked somebody, I'm like, has anybody stepped up? Is anybody going to step up this week and do the Joseph speech at Ryderville ahead of the game? I don't know if anybody will do it, but I think someone's got to be there to rev up Ryderville.
Joe might have it in him.
Joe might have it in him. He's a pretty amped up guy.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Kerry, thank you so much. I know you're grinding as a coach down south, but appreciate you spending the time with us here in Saskatchewan today.
This is awesome.
No, thanks for having me on, guys. And just want to wish everybody in Ryderville all the best. I know Sunday afternoon I'll be working, but I will have my computer on the game or my TV something. I will be watching that game and paying attention to it. So let's go get the fifth one. Trevor, lead them, and all the best to everybody.
That is Kerry Joseph, MOP 2007 Grey Cup champion joining us here on the Green Zone. That brings back some great memories for Rider Nation. That 07 team, that 07 season was extremely special. More coming up on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. MGK, Machine Gun Kelly, this Grey Cup halftime show.
I wonder if Megan Fox will be here.
Are they still together?
I think so.
I just found out a month and a half ago that he was married to Megan Fox when you told me that. I have not up on the Machine Gun Kelly goss for that one. But
you also didn't know about her weird thumbs.
Did not know about that either.
Yeah, she's got toe thumbs.
Apparently, that is a
very pretty girl. Toe thumbs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just weird. Watch, she'll hide her hands.
I probably would too. But Machine Gun Kelly, Grey Cup halftime show, of course. Our Lady Peace does the kickoff show on Sunday. It is the 112th Grey Cup. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. I don't know if I like what we're about to do.
I got to tie my shoes up a little tighter here.
I didn't
here.
Wear shoes
you
compatible
got the hush
with this.
You'll be fine.
They're going to fly off. I'm going to break a toe. So
we're going down into the fan zone here.
At the Fan Fest, there is a kicking. You can try to kick a field goal. So Locker and I, with the storyline that has been the Rough Riders kicking game, we're going to audition for our next guest, Corey Mace. I was able to go.
We're sending you tape, Corey.
I was able to go one-on-one with Corey Mace on Media Day, and I don't know if I brought up the kicker, to be quite honest.
Corey, you got a team here. Now, how do you finish the job?
There's so many things I've been thinking on, like what's the difference between this week and other weeks. Maybe there are some nuances that you got to kind of, wrap your head around. But ultimately, that ball is going to be snapped, man. And you got to just be able to trust yourself and your abilities to execute. You got to trust the people around you. And being able to trust yourself and your teammates is knowing that what's real, and knowing what's real is being able to do things over and over again that creates your own reality. So for us, that's conviction and knowing, and we can handle that through what we've done to this point and through the week of practice.
I wrote after the West final that West final was all about belief that your defense could get the ball back, belief Brett could make the kicks, believe Trevor could get it in the end zone. How important has that been all season and not just the West line?
Yeah, I think if you guys, we talk about that all the time. Belief is the beginning of it. There's got to be a lot of things to back it up. There's got to be actions that concrete your belief. And I see these guys every day, man. So a lot of decisions I make is off of belief, but it's not just off of a whim. It's because I've seen what's capable. So, belief and trust for us is huge.
So third and five, you're kicking the field goal from the five this week, or?
I think it depends on situation. That situation, I thought, made really good sense.
I'm curious on how you've dealt with this, because everybody told you when you took the job, just wait until the media and the fans get after you for. How have you handled that? Because you hear the boos and, I don't know how much you listen to my show. You probably shouldn't. But how have you handled that?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Shout out to you, Jay. I know your show's awesome, but I don't listen to outside information. I don't do that. Somebody told me a long time ago, if you ever get to this spot, make sure if anything goes good or it goes bad or anything, it was your decision, So I'm focused on that and trying to prepare myself in situations to make the decision I feel is best for our team, and putting the faith in our guys to execute. So, I don't know. You're going to have to somehow maybe catch me at a coffee shop and you have to tell me face to face. But everybody's been really pleasant in my time in Saskatchewan. I want to continue that.
How ready is this team already this week? What are you feeling from how they are dealing with this?
Yeah, I think everybody's dialed. Honestly, we had a optional lift, and say, hey, you guys, we'll have a bus to go to the stadium and get a lift in if you want to just get a quick one. They kind of had the rest of the day off, and I think 58 guys got on the bus to go lift together. They're ready. I think they're mentally ready. We have our first day of practice coming up here this afternoon. We'll see what the physical component looks like. Mentally, I know they're dialed.
Trevor Harris, how important has he been for you to establish the culture you found necessary to be here at the 112th Grey Cup?
Yeah, incredible. One of the main reasons why I thought this opportunity was so attractive, and why I was so elated to come to Saskatchewan and represent the team is because I knew that we had a quarterback that operated extremely professionally. Once taking the job and being around him on the day-to-day, I was actually blown away by how far off I was, because it was like to the umpteenth power of how that guy prepares himself. He competes his tail off. He's an incredible teammate. He's extremely smart. You watch what he does on the field, whether it's in-game or versus our defense, which we think is pretty good. And sometimes you're sitting there like, jeez, are we lucky to have this guy? And then on top of that, he's got his wife and his kids. Man, I can't look at anything and what the guy does and say that he's bad at it. He's excellent. He's an excellent human.
Final one, Corey, is when you took the job, there's the video of you coming out into the empty stadium. I think there might have been an F-bomb drop. But on this past Saturday, you got to go out there through that tunnel, and the place was packed,
yeah.
And you won that game. Can you go through this 2 years from that moment of taking this job to that moment of having the West Division trophy in front of you?
Yeah. It was my wife will tell you, I'm really, really bad at letting moments soak in, because I'm always like, okay, what's next and how. But having time and to reflect on it just a tad, it's an emotional, what's the best way to put it? I want to say I like to manifest stuff a ton, but it's more of, you have a vision of what that could look like, and to see it come to fruition, and to be able to do this for Rider Nation, to do this for the organization, to have the opportunity to do something special here, is literally everything that I thought about when getting this job.
Best of luck Sunday.
Thank you, brother.
That is Corey Mace, the head coach of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. They say never run to a microphone.
Whew.
So we just ran down, and we tried the field goal kicking thing.
And the Fan Fest. The Fan Fest has got like 30 interactive things that you can do in it.
I'm going to – let's put it on the text line.
Okay.
We'll tell you after the break. One of us made the 10-yard field goal.
We were a little further back than 10 yards.
I don't know how long it was. One of us missed. Guess which one made it. Guess which one of us missed.
Yeah. Yeah, 877-332-8255. Text in. Was it Jamie or Locker that got the field goal?
Whew, that was a lot of pressure. Now I kind of get it on what Brett Lawther goes through. This is 980 CJME.
And cardio.
And 650 CKOM.
Can I kick it? Can I kick it? Can I kick it?
Trevor, thanks for your concern. I appreciate that on the text line. There was some heavy breathing. I'll be honest. That sprint up the stairs from the first floor, where all the
Like, the activities are going on. There's a market up here on the second floor, Radio Row. Jamie and Locker, that's where you can find out. So the Fan Fest, if you're on your way to Winnipeg, it opens in a couple of minutes, and then I'll look over. And we just did the kicking challenge. So you can be there. They have a, how far was, how 15, 20-yard field goal? What do you think that was? It says 10. They have the marker at 10, but
we
I
were
didn't
at the
pace
back.
It out. It
says 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a shorter kick.
I'll post the video.
Yeah.
But nobody, only one person thought you got it.
So
everyone was siding with me.
Let's go through the text, okay? Brendan, Locker got it. Jamie failed. Tim, well, with Locker saying it was probably further than 10 yards, I'm guessing he made it. Dean says Locker made it. Brandon said for sure it's Locker. He seems like he has more strength. Glenn says I think it was probably Locker. Brad, I'm putting it on the board that Locker made it just by the heavy breathing I hear on the radio from Jamie.
The running
producer
back.
Scott.
He picked you?
He picked you.
Did he?
Yeah, he said okay. Locker made it. Jamie missed. Only one person, and it's not my mom, only one person, Kirk, texted in that I made the field goal for the field goal challenge. And
the winner is
all the texts that came in, Kirk's the only one who got it right.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Jamie and I got one over the
Locker didn't get it enough. He kicked that
I
thing.
Bombed it.
It looked like
I had a worm burner.
Like, yeah, the Gophers were ducking for cover. Have you kicked anything in your life?
No.
Clearly.
And I hate soccer.
See, I played
I was
soccer.
Mad at soccer.
Locker will post that one. I had a little issue with the holding mechanism that was holding the ball, but
well,
I figured it out.
I'm trying to cut that out of the video because 45 seconds of it is you trying to get the plastic holder unit to...
It fell apart! Just saying, it fell apart.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're all wrong except for Kirk. Kirk, thanks for the faith, buddy. I appreciate your support.
We've done more than a couple of athletic challenges, and oddly, Jamie spends zero time working out, like less than zero time working out, and you're oddly athletic.
What do you mean oddly athletic?
Well, I'm trying to be nice.
I don't have good cardio, as we all just found out live on the radio. My cardio's not there.
Yeah.
But kicking, throwing, eye coordinate, I'm pretty good at that stuff.
Yeah. Brendan is very upset with me. Sorry, Brendan. I feel like I let you down.
First not knowing what a Furby is, and now this. Wow, you've let him down. But, yes, a lot of events going on. Grey Cup week's underway. We are live in Winnipeg bringing you the latest, of course, on the Rough Riders ahead of the 112th Grey Cup. They practiced earlier today. A full report on that is this. No Keyshawn Johnson. Corey said he was out there. We didn't see him. Maybe he had a hoodie on over the number three jersey, so we just didn't notice because you're looking for numbers. 82, Joe Robustelli was practicing.
Awesome to see him out there. That's key. He got so much juice, man. He can do it all, that kid. So excellent to see him out there.
So Joe Robustelli cleared concussion protocol. He could be available for Sunday's game, if not. And if Keyshawn can't go, it might be a Joe who gets back in the lineup. And they go four Canadian starting receivers in a Grey Cup game. And they still have Del Duncan Busby and Mitch Picton.
That gives them some room to make some adjustments.
Well, they don't have to do that stupid nationalized American rule thing with the defensive line if they do that.
And you can't cross streams, right, with the defense and offense. You have to have the starters.
It's the defensive linemen.
Let's do that.
That's the rotation. And it's the position group, by the way. So,
yeah,
you can't have a Canadian come in at a DB.
Hey, I got an idea. Let's find a way to make it more confusing. They're going to get rid of it. I had a quick conversation with Stu. We'll talk about it a little bit later last night. But at that Naylor thing last night.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I asked him. And anyway, he gave me an indication of something.
Tomorrow is the State of the League address. It's the State of the League from Stuart Johnston tomorrow morning, bright and early. I'll be very interested what comes out of that conversation.